a season like no other. Falkirk have went through the whole league campaign and not lost once. Unbelievable, phenomenal, incredible, invincible.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall.
Into the box, it's Adams. And McKeever scores! Agyeman lets it run, might have a chance of a shot. It's Agyeman! Oh, what a goal from Alfredo Agyeman!
Still alive, Dylan Tate tries to bend one.
And it's a wonderful goal! Orfield! Oh, he's back! The king is back! Scott Arfield! What a Falkirk return!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
The Scott Arfield show continued as the Bairns of Falkirk walked away from Greenock with 3 points on a wet and windy Friday evening, which seems so long ago. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am John McInally, and welcome to the Ginger God of Pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, just dried off from Greenock on Friday night. It is Ross Wayne.
Good afternoon, pal. I know you're still not feeling 100%, so we'll make this as fun as we can for you.
No, I mean, I think it started when we recorded the podcast on Monday evening, and it's just went downhill from there, and I'm creeping a wee bit back up the hill now, but I don't think going through to Edinburgh and drinking copious amounts of whiskey was a great idea yesterday.
Was at the time a bit.
I know, it was great. Apart from the rugby, I can't believe. I mean, I know you're not massive into your rugby, but last kick of the ball, chance to beat England, and Finn Russell just pulled it wide. I was gutted, absolutely gutted.
I'm not a massive rugby fan, John, as you've just said. However, I would back Scotland at tiddlywinks against England, so it is a disappointment that we've not beat them.
It was gutting, absolutely gutting on Saturday, but hey ho, the Bairns won on Friday, and that's the main thing. It was interesting, actually. I was just obviously kept checking the score in the Ayr Livi game as well, where I was like, 1-1, 1-1, that's a great, that'll do us. That's the, I think, unanimously, we talked about it, Ross, like a draw would be probably the best result, but the second best result probably was Livi getting that win. Probably.
Yep. Yeah, I think so as well. It keeps it tight. What's that gap now? Was it 4 and 5? So it's in our own hands. We just need to, as John and Paul, I think, both said after the game on Friday night, we just need to look after ourselves and take it from there. That's all we can do.
It's 4 points at the moment. Obviously, we'll wait and see where it is, because Livi actually do have the chance to go top before
they
play on Saturday, because they're playing Tuesday night and they're also playing Friday night before we go. So I'll have to have a word with the interim boss at Partick Thistle, Mark Wilson, my friend and Super Scoreboard colleague. I'll have a wee quiet word with him on Thursday night before the game, and just say, come on, Mark, do it, inspire those boys to get a win against Livi on Friday night. So
you're right, though, they could go top, John, but I suppose you flip it round, that's them putting a bit of pressure potentially on us in Ayr. We would then have two games in hand over them, which we would obviously quickly play, as we know, because we're playing on the Saturday and then the Tuesday. But it's exciting. I'm here for it.
It's exciting. I know. It's buzzing. It's going to be some running anyway, that's for sure. Just how was Friday night? Enjoy it? But you had a few drinks?
We did, yeah. It was a few of us in Behind the Wall. Before the game, we had a couple of beers, and as our pal Gary, as we talked about in the podcast last week, it was his birthday midweek. So, yeah, that was good. Good blather, good chat. Behind the Wall was actually pretty busy with Bairns fans that were not actually going as well. The pub was pretty busy with guys that were just going to watch it on the box and the warmth of Behind the Wall. But it was good. Good bus journey through, really quick. Post-match, obviously, we'll talk about the game in a minute, but post-match, we got back to Behind the Wall. And the plan was literally just to have a pint or so and then down the road. And then that quickly became a few pints. And then a couple of Venoms finished the evening off as well, which were lovely, as we know. So, great laugh.
Good, good. I watched it just in the comfort of my living room in front of the telly on a Friday night, so it was quite nice. And they're like, it's that way when you're watching football, scaring the children and the dog as the goals went in, you know, just jumping up. The dog was like completely startled when I jumped up, like, yes! and then the dog jumped up, oh! And the kids were like, oh! No, it was good. It was good watching it in the house, and I'm glad I did, because I think I would have worsened this cold if I'd went to the game.
Possibly.
Talking about behind the wall, we're obviously in there for Falkirk Daft Live this Friday. We're going to be out to the final of the F Factor, let you know who's going to be on stage on Friday evening. Just a word on that, it is 7 o'clock doors, 7.30 to 7.45 start, roughly about then we'll get on stage there. John and Paul are going to be kicking things off, talking about the season so far. We'll get some questions from you guys to ask them as well. Then we're going to have our turns, Kim McAllister, absolute legend, club legend, stand named after him. He's going to be on the second half alongside Mr. Ian McCall, former manager, former player, and I think it'll be a right good laugh, the two of them on stage. So that's all going to happen. So that's kicking off, like I say, doors will be at 7:30, 7:45 on stage start. And then we'll see it all down there. It should be pretty good. And I've got to say thanks very much to Rumour Architecture, who are sponsoring this event this Friday. So we need to get Ryan, see if he's got pop-ups and all that sort of stuff that we can put up on stage to show him. But Ryan will be there. If you are looking for an architect, we'll point them in your direction. You can,
before he has too much to drink, we'll point
you. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then you end up a big skew-whiffy house.
Yeah,
but I can do you this.
But it promises to do a job for like 100 quid.
Aye, well, that's true. That's true. So we'll point him out on tonight as well. So thanks very much to Ryan for sponsoring the event. Let's go straight into Birthday Corner and say happy birthday to the one, the only, Eddie Coon. Always one of the first ones to download the podcast and the first one in with the one of the players, Ross.
He is, no, he's a brilliant guy. And he's obviously a very, very popular Burns fan. Loads of fans will know Eddie.
Yeah.
And that message comes in from his boys, Kieran and Nathan, and also his best mate, Andy, as well.
Oh, brilliant. So happy birthday, Eddie. We know you download this quicker than anyone, so you'll be first to it as well. So happy birthday, Eddie. And happy birthday to Stevie Tate as well. I can't believe he's 21 again. Who knew that? That's from all the usual suspects at the Pillar. Elliot's Stevie and Good. Was Stevie there Friday night?
Yeah, no, he wasn't able to make Friday night. However, I'm sure we'll get him a belated beer when we see him next at the next game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, I've got to say, happy birthday. This came in from Laura. She said, wondering if you wish my dad, John Fraser, happy 92nd birthday. It's on the 27th. He's in the main stand every home game and gets quite a few away games too. If you feel generous, maybe a Scotty salute. There we go. That's for you, John. And that's from Laura, Danny, and Grand Doug Reno. So that's from us. So happy birthday, John. We should shout probably because it's 92nd. Happy birthday, John!
I'm bad, but... he's probably got better faculties than you.
Oh, yeah, he probably had definitely at the moment. Definitely at the moment. We've got to say happy birthday to everyone. If you're having your birthday and want to be on Features and Birthday Corner, get in touch for next week. F Factor, Ross, it's all come to a conclusion, hasn't it?
It has. We have our three finalists. All three finalists are able and willing to come on stage at Falkirk Daft Live this Friday night as well. So I know we're going to play them just now. So our first finalist that we can exclusively reveal is Tyler Crowe, who people will remember from his voice note in December.
Hello lads, right, this is my second audition for F Factor. I am even more sober than the last time, and here we go for the part. Ethan Ross, running down the wing, makes the Falkirk sing, we're going to the Premier League, or Premiership, or gonna win the fucking league. Ethan Ross, fuck the bars. Come on, let's get into them tomorrow.
I can't believe Tyler's got through to the final with that effort, but well done, Tyler.
Listen, that was my belt. It's got a good tune. I'm sure he'll smash it on the stage. We need the hiccup just before he starts as well. So hopefully there's a couple of drinks. Shout out to him because he did pop over and see me on Friday night and he is buzzing for the final. And so that's our first finalist. The second finalist is a big, big fan of the podcast. He came on our pub crawl last
Friday. Yes, he did.
Well, do you remember? And it's the one and only Brendan McRae. Now, this wasn't a voice note. However, everyone that's going on Friday night will hear him sing this, and I'm sure everyone will know the tune as well. So it's to the tune of Yazoo's 80s classic, Only You. So do you want me to...
Yeah, you go for that. You're an 80s expert.
What? Ooh, right, okay. I'll go with that. So, looking from the south stand above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear me? In the showers, he is the boss. Wee Leon's hung like a horse. Have you seen it? All I'm needing is another goal. East End Park is a fucking hole. You're all I ever knew. Navy blue.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to hear Brendan performing that live on the stage in front of our judges come Friday. And then, of course, we have got, I would probably say, the favourite to win it, because he's going to bring his guitar along, Owen Fife, who sent us in. He got straight through with the golden buzzer a few weeks ago. So this is Owen's effort, which you're going to hear on Friday at Behind the Wall.
Hello, John and Ross. I hope you're doing well. This is my rendition of Olé, 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 feeling hot, hot, hot. But the Falkirk edition for the F Factor. And I hope you like it. I put on some moody blue, navy blue lighting for you, just to make it that bit more Falkirk. Here we go. His left foot, what's some score with his right? It's Ethan Ross, Ross, Ross. The boy from Inverurie, what's some goal? He'll run right through you, Ross, Ross, Ross. Running at your defenders, giving them a fright. Oh, he can't resist. Oh, man, away, it's at the bay. It's Falkirk Saint Sea. Some goal. Scoring goal, goal, goals. Only
there we go. So that is brilliant from Owen, and that is going to be on stage at Falkirk Daft Live.
Is that your favourite then, John, so far? You think that's the pre-match favourite then,
do
you?
I think that's got to go in as favourite. I think it's got to go in as favourite. We'll wait and see what the judges have to say come Friday at Falkirk Daft Live. So looking forward to it, really looking forward to seeing you all down there as well. But let's get into the episode. We've got to say thank you very much to the Falkirk District Tartan Army once again, sponsoring this week's episode. Thanks to Neil over at the FDTA. They're taking names now for non-members wanting to get to that bus to the Greece match in the Nations League on this Sunday, 23rd of March. This will be the fourth bus. They'll be putting on a fourth bus if they get enough names. So the buses leave from the Graham Hotel at 2:30, with the kickoff being at 5 o'clock. So all the details on how to get involved with the Falkirk District Tartan Army are below. Or you can head to the website, falkirkdistricttartanarmy.com, and then you'll be able to register as a new member right there in the membership section. And also say thank you very much to members and non-members who are continually supporting FDTA. So if you are like a big Scotland fan, you're a big Falkirk supporter, this is a no-brainer for me, because Falkirk supporters go to watch Scotland. So what a better combination you could have. Brilliant.
Exactly. No, it is. And Neil and the guys do a brilliant job running the buses as well. It's all perfectly run and gets everybody home safe from Hampden, which of an evening kickoff is not always easier. So a bus is definitely a convenient way to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So thanks to Neil and Falkirk District Tartan Army for sponsoring this week's episode. Looking at news, now today we're recording this on Sunday afternoon. We were actually meant to be down at the stadium watching the Falkirk women play, But unfortunately, the stadium's been closed due to the weather, and looking out the window just now, it's absolutely horrible. And I was just out with a dog there just now, and it's just one of those ones where you're just going, oh, I hate my life right now. When you're out walking the dog, you're just miserable, absolutely miserable walking the dog. And like, there's hardly any other dog walkers out there. You're just going, jeez. So I'm absolutely gutted that it was postponed. But hopefully, once the rearranged dates put in the diary, Ross, we can get sorted for that.
Yeah, that the today's game is likely to be moved to midweek. However, and it's still to be confirmed. But Stephen and Joshua, the assistant coaches there, they have potentially got another date in mind, which would be Sunday the 9th of March, which is the day after we play Dunfermline at home. So they have put a potential second date for us in there. So we'll be in touch with the guys and we'll confirm on our socials in the next few days.
Yeah, fingers crossed, so we can get another, because it was geared up to being a great turnout, and then obviously Scottish weather gets in the way yet again. There we go. Couple of matches been moved for the men's first team. The Livy Falkirk match is moved from Saturday the 29th of March to Tuesday the 25th of March. It's not yet confirmed if that's going to be on the telly or not. That's because Livy are playing in the Trust Trophy the next game day, isn't it?
We are, yes. So Sunday the 30th of March, that game is taking place at Falkirk Stadium, actually. So our match with them has been brought forward to the Tuesday 25th. I still think there will be a very, very large Falkirk crowd going through to Livingston, regardless of time of night. I'm hoping it's not on TV, if I'm being honest, because I think, you know what, TV does dilute the crowd ever so. Like that, I'm sure there would have been more than 800, as much as it was a fantastic travel and support on Friday night, and it was. I think had that been on a Saturday, you would have probably been maybe 1,300, 1,400 Falkirk fans through it, Apple. So I think if it's on TV, fair enough, but fingers crossed it's not, and we have a massive crowd again throughout Livingston.
Yeah, and there's maybe talk about the air match being moved on the 12th of April as well.
Yes, that is the rumour. Nothing's confirmed yet. So the 12th of April is also the same day as the Scottish Grand National, which takes place in Ayr. And it's very unlikely that the police will allow a potential 6,000-7,000 crowd to be played half a mile away from the race course.
I mean, surely, but this has been in the diary since the start of the season, as has the Grand National. So surely that was something that you would have thought.
Agreed.
People would have looked at and went, hold on a minute, is Ayr at home to Falkirk that day, the same day as the Grand National? That doesn't make sense to me.
I always thought these things, I always thought the SPFL took some instruction from the clubs, as in, right, listen, we don't want to have a game on this date, we can't play on this date due to the stadium being used for a whatever. So it is a bit odd that they are due to be at home on the same weekend. If it does get moved, you would assume the TV would be interested in that game anyway.
Massive.
So would Friday the 11th suit everybody potentially? But I'm sure we'll hear in the next week or two.
Does that play a bit? I mean, I don't know if there's an answer for this, but moving from a Saturday to a Tuesday, is that a bit more advantageous for Falkirk? Is it more advantageous for Ayr? Same with the Livy game, I guess, as well.
Yeah. I'm not sure, to be honest. Night games do have that something different, don't they? And we have done recent home games aside, we do tend to do quite well on the road on the Friday nights. So, yeah, maybe it is an advantage to us. But I'm sure we'll hear in the next week or two. But yeah, that Livy game, firstly, because we know it's confirmed, if people can get along to that on the Tuesday the 25th, please do.
Yeah. And word on the Stirlingshire Cup final has been announced. It's going to be on the Tuesday the 11th of March, 7:45, kick-off at the Falkirk Stadium. Chance to watch potential silverware being lifted at the Falkirk Stadium, and it's a cracking cup. I keep going on about the Stirlingshire Cup and how cracking a cup it is. It'd be great to have back in the boardroom. It's obviously us and Stirling Albion. It's a 50-50 split in the main stand, and the KM stand is going to be open too as well, apparently. £10 for adults, £5 for concessions, and free for tickets. Under 12s obviously go free at the Falkirk Stadium. So yeah, and I think there's hospitality on sale for that as well. So that is going to happen 7:45, 11th of March. So get a date for the diaries there, guys, and we'll see you down there for the Stirlingshire Cup final. And like I say, chance to see a cup being raised at the Falkirk Stadium once again. So fingers crossed.
That's it.
Yeah. Speakers Night's coming as well. I think there's still some tickets for that. That's 7th of March, the night before the Dunfermline match. So you get all the details on the Falkirk website for that. And also a shout out to Cammy Shanks Foundation Burn Supper. That is happening on the 1st of March at the Plough Hotel. It's £35, which includes haggis, sips and tatties. And you can win a Scott Arfield painting there as well. So if you want details on that, get in touch with Cammy Shanks Burnscob at gmail.com. That's Cammy Shanks Burnscob at gmail.com, and you'll find the details on our socials as well. Now last week we didn't really get into it, we didn't have time last week, but we wanted to talk about the new Project 1876, which the Falkirk Support Society have launched, and we thought we'd double up and a man who is on the committee of the FSS and is also going to talk to with us about the Morton game is Mr. James Miller.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very good, very good.
Jim, thanks for coming on, mate. We tried to get you on last week, but I know you were away at Euro Disney. So how was that first and foremost?
Disneyland was fantastic. I was dragged around pretty much every corner of Disneyland. And the last day I actually hurt my knee, and I'm blaming them for making me walk 20,000 steps every single day. No, it was fun. It was fun. The wee man had a great time, so.
Jim, I heard a rumour that you came home from Disneyland with a Dunfermline top. Or was it just a Mickey Mouse outfit? There we go.
Smashing. He's been saving that up his sleeve.
That's somewhere.
Jim, you've really kind of spearheaded Project 1876 along with the rest of the committee. Can you just, for anyone that hasn't delved into, there was a really detailed bit of correspondence set out to Falkirk Support Society members. Could you just kind of detail and surmise what Project 1876 is?
Yeah, so it's really a statement of intent from the Falkirk Support Society. A statement of intent where we're kind of saying we understand there's a next level to go to. And it's one with kind of stronger engagement, with consultation, with collaboration, with the membership. And this is now Falkirk fans' opportunity to shape our club kind of now, but also move into the future. So the plan is to still keep our fund safeguard, have your same message, which has been consistent throughout the last kind of 2-3 years, with the idea being that fans will now have the opportunity to have their say on where their contributions are going, will be actively engaged whenever there needs to be a time where we use our shareholding vote at an AGM or EGM. And I think the most important part, and the part that I'm most excited by, is giving members the opportunity to have their say. And that will be on, you know, club matters. So every single year we do our annual Bairn survey. Last year, of course, overwhelmingly positive, but there were kind of a few areas where fans wanted to see improvements. And admittedly, we didn't do much with that. And I think that was a missed opportunity. So this is kind of the idea is we take those views, we push them forward, and we, you know, we can have a direct involvement in club improvements, acting on the feedback that we receive from these surveys. And of course then looking at wider Scottish football issues, you know, I'm thinking about the distribution of wealth in the game, B teams. It's a chance for Falkirk fans to really have their say and make a real impact, not just at Falkirk, but wider Scottish football. Really excited about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, from it's a part of the FSS that's probably missing is that, you know, we've obviously got the members on the board as FSS members, but the wider group, you know, the thousands of people that are our members really haven't had much of a say. We've kind of left it in the hands of those that have been appointed to the board to do our bidding. But I think this is a really positive step in terms of engaging the support and going, right, well, where do you want the money to go? Would you like to see go in the first team? Would you like to go and see it into the academy set up? Potentially talking about an understand. I think it'll be really, it's really good to see that, you know. And I presumably then, James, it's like when I read that email, it's like you'll almost vote on it, and then the percentages will kind of almost divvy up where the money goes.
Yeah. So I think the first point is to say, I think there's a reason, and I think it's fair to say, the first 3 years of the Falkirk Sports Society, the committee have really felt like we've had to do a lot of firefighting, and it's always, you know, it's, there has been a big message of we need your contributions to fund the football budget, you know, and that was because the club was in a really dark place, and a dangerous place, and this was all around kind of, we've got this singular message, fund the football budget, and it was to get us into this kind of slightly safer space. But you're right, it's been a name since day one of the Falkirk Sports Society for fans to be able to have their say. In fact, I remember, so I had a text from Stuart Adam, which obviously you both know Stuart, but for anyone that doesn't, he was one of the early chairmen of the relaunched Falkirk Sports Society, the founding father of fan ownership in Falkirk Football Club, and he's now, of course, on the club board. And he sent me a text, and it was the outcomes of a survey that they'd done 4 years ago. So just before the Falkirk Sports Society had relaunched, and it mentioned, I think they'd had 500 responses, and something like 85% had indicated that they wanted the Falkirk Sports Society to shape how the club works moving forward. And one of the biggest ways that we can influence that is through the funding. So this is the perfect opportunity for fans to shape the direction of the club by having a say on these funding priorities. Yeah, absolutely.
Jim, I think that's really strong, and something that was obviously, as you said, it was built in the beginning around shaping the club, shaping the budget, and that has definitely been no more evident than the signings that the club have been able to make, even out with the regular window and budgets. So for those that are listening, and they're either a member of the FSSEX just now or they're not, other than the football budget, what are some of the things that the money that's invested through the FSS, what could happen with the funds if it's not just the playing budget?
Yeah, so this is something we sat down with the club and we've had a discussion, because we want to ensure that the club will have many different strategic priorities that they want to take forward. And we want to ensure that the fans are able to put their weight behind the ones that are most important to them. So there will be an opportunity. I don't want to give too much away because this will be for members at the upcoming AGM, but essentially there'll be a larger funding priority vote. So John mentioned a couple that there could be there, which was the first team budget. That might still be the number one priority for members. It might be the academy. It's well known that there's kind of opportunities for infrastructure improvements at the stadium that might well be an opportunity as well. But I think a really exciting point is this 5% fund that the Falkirk Sports Society is proposing. So this will be 5% of kind of members' contributions minus the loan repayments and any kind of costs that we have. Is going to be set aside for an FSS-funded discrete project. So something smaller, but something that the membership can really take a lot of ownership of. So that could be things like, I don't know, investment in Falkirk TV or the upgrading of the disabled facilities, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I won't give the exhaustive list of the options. There is one. I won't give the exhaustive list, but members will see that in their AGM packs, which will be released very soon.
Right. Look forward to seeing that. And just that's a final one on the project, 1876, James. Presumably, it's the club can't turn around and say, so if the FSS members vote saying, right, we want to put, let's just say, 100% of that money into the academy, the club can't then turn around to say, no, we're taking the money and we're using it how we want to use it. It's obviously with the FSS being the main shareholders, when the membership's decided, that's the decision made, and there can be no going back from the club on
that. So this the whole project, we've done it in consultation with the club. So this isn't something that's a surprise to them either. You know, we sat down and we said, we think there's a new direction that needs to go, that the FSS needs to go in, an evolution. And they were completely on board with it. And we've discussed these strategic priorities, these large priorities, these small priorities with them. And they're happy with every single one. So,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's a joint project altogether.
Good. Smashing. Great to hear. So if you aren't an FSS member, what should people do right now, James?
Should sign up.
Exactly. Sign up.
So I think it's really important. So you've got 1,100 members, which is great. You know, absolutely fantastic. What an increased membership gives us is, well, one, it gives more contributions, so it increases the funds that can be spent, and that's always a positive. But I think more importantly, it increases the voice. It increases the weight behind the FSS. So if we've got, let's just say, you know, we've called it Project 1876 because we'd love 1876 number of members. Let's just say we get to that. It becomes really difficult for us to be ignored. Not that I think we will be ignored, but it becomes very difficult to ignore the FSS if we've got that large number behind us. So I think this is, if you haven't signed up already, this is a great opportunity to come on board and really make a difference in how our club is run.
There you go. You've heard it from the man himself. Thank you, James, for explaining that. Will we talk about football? Now, let's talk about Morton game on Friday night. Ross, you headed through. James, I think you were like me. You were watching it on the telly as well. Yeah. 800 Bairns, though, travelling through in what was a horrible, horrible night. A couple of changes, Ross, from the side. We found out that Liam Henderson was injured, which was a big worry. But it's actually one position that we're actually okay in, because we've got loads of centre halves. Darryl O'Connor was actually injured as well. So there was the thought that maybe Tom Lyon might come into the side. But no, it was Sean Mackey who came out of the cold, really, and went in at left back. And the other change that was made to the side, and I think he obviously showed up against Ayr very well, was Barney Stewart came in for Gary Oliver, which is always a worry because we all know Gary Oliver's amazing record of the fact that we've never been beaten when Gary Oliver started. But it was good to see Sean Mackey back in the side. And then Ross Munro made it back to the bench as well, Ross.
Yeah, so as you said, John, at least one enforced change. I think we were all a bit Big Hendo's been like player of the season so far. It's always a worry. However, as you said, Saki came in at left back, Luke Graham moved into centre half, and the defence and overall performed very, very well on Friday night. I thought, as you said, with Saki not having played much, he came in and he effortlessly made that left back position his own in the night. And obviously it allowed Luke to be in a more natural position at centre half. And I thought him and Cole had a very, very good partnership on the night as well. And it's not another shout out because he's now had two or three games on the bounce where he's performed very, very well. But Keelan Adams is almost back to where he had been pre sort of media talk in December time about Rangers and everybody else that was after him.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, going into the game, James, there was a bit of intrepidation because Morton had obviously been unbeaten in 11 games. From our perspective, good news was they were a wee bit hamstrung with the fact they didn't have two of their strikers were unavailable for selection. But it we you know, I don't think it took away from Falkirk's performance and certainly the way we started the game.
No, I think we were dominant. I think it was, you know, I think when you have two shots in the first couple of minutes, you know you're on the front foot. You know, Morton could have had their two starting strikers, and I don't think it would have made any difference. We were in complete control. And then once you get two goals up, second half, again, very professional. There was never any chance that we were going to lose that game from that position, which is brilliant. That's exactly, you know, I know some folks are saying they wanted to see us kind of go for it, go for the kill, but yeah, very professional performance, and that's what we want to see.
I thought we looked right back to our best, Ross. I thought it was right back to kind of start of the season, Falkirk, the way we came out the traps, the way we played, I think that comfort of having a left back was good as well, and seeing Luke back into that centre half position with alongside Colin. Obviously the worry was Hendel being out, but Colin looked like picked up where that Hendel Graham partnership kind of left as well. And I thought actually Col looked, you know, it was a bit of criticism coming Col's way after the air game, but I thought that was one of his best games of the season.
It was, in my opinion, I think it was his best game. We'll get on to Falkirk Daff rated, but I genuinely thought he was going to pick up the TV man of the match, to be honest. So yeah, no, Col was phenomenal, and as you said, he was ably assisted by Luke at centre half, and it was brilliant to see Luke in his more natural. I've been very consistent the last couple of games. I think he's done very well at left back, considering he's not a left back. But in terms of, it was great to see him in his natural position last night. And as Jim said, we started with such an urgency from the off with these early chances that we had.
Yeah, there was obviously, I think, you know, we talked about the Calvin Miller straight away having that shot. You know, there was a Dylan Tate had a ping which Ryan Mullen had to put across the bar.
Ryan saved by the keeper for that one, John.
It was a cracking save, by the way. It was a great hit from Dylan as well, who actually had, again, another player that's coming under criticism in last week. I actually thought he was okay. I don't think he's still up 100%, but I thought he was slightly better than he has been in previous weeks, because I know there was a lot of talk about people saying that Dylan should be rested. I'll be honest with you, I'll hold my hand up and say I think I wouldn't have had him in my team for Friday. But again, Jimmy looked like he came into a bit of a game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to remember as well, Dylan's Tate's levels at the start of the season were so high.
Yeah,
you know, I'd say for that first 10-game period, he was the best player in the championship at the start of the season.
Yeah,
and you're not going to keep that up for a full season. So he has maybe regressed slightly in his performances, but I was impressed. I thought he did fine. You know, I'm a big fan of Finn Yates as well. I sponsor Finn, have for the last couple of seasons. But yeah, it's a difficult team to get into.
I know, you do feel sorry for Finn. You do feel sorry, in, you know, when I was looking at stats, like, I think he's only started two games this season, one being against Celtic as well, where he showed up really, really well in that 10 role, which we were all like, oh, well, Finn's playing the 10. And it, you know, you really feel sorry for it. It's just, like you say, Jim, it's displacing that midfield. I thought there was an opportunity to, with Dylan's form, that Finn comes in and maybe puts down a marker. But, you know, again, Dylan's just kind of shone up a wee bit. And obviously, we've got to talk about one of his midfield partners in Scott Arfield. Yet again, just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. 5 goals now in 3 games. And what a finish it was for the first goal, Ross.
It was beautiful. He obviously starts the move as well by playing it out to Ethan, who, again, we'll talk about in a second with his goal, but Ethan Ross was just like unplayable in that first 45, especially. Yeah, lovely, lovely, typical Ethan Ross run towards the box. However, lifts his head, sees Scott's in a brilliant position, and Scott Arfield just doing Scott Arfield things, passing it again, almost into the back of the net, and it was a beautiful finish. You could tell every single player must absolutely love him, because they're all over him at the goals as well. He was getting a bit of stick on the night from the few hundred Morton fans underneath the cow shed, but he celebrated right in front of them as well, which is always nice to see.
I mean, I think we've spoke about it, Jim, in the last couple of Falkirk Daff episodes, the composure that he brings to finishes like that, where, you know, when, say, Dylan Tate or Brad Spencer maybe in a similar position earlier on the season, you would see that fly over the bar or go wide or whatever, but it's just a different level, I think. And, you know, hopefully he brings these players in. You know, I think I heard them talking about shooting practice after the match, I think, he had with the BBC. You know, so hopefully the players around them are learning from that, because it was such a composed finish.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love him. I genuinely love him. There was a little bit of me, you know, I've been calling for Scott Arfield to come back ever since he did that interview I think it was probably the Open Goal podcast, was it? Well, that's still no, it is. Here,
it was my friends over at Pint and Two Shots.
Is that what it was? That's what it was. Yeah. You know, when he said he'd love to come back. And ever since then, every transfer window, I've been putting a wee tweet out saying, Arfield coming back? And then it finally happened, you know. And even with that, there was a little bit of me that kind of thought, have his legs gone? You know, Bolton fans weren't particularly complimentary about his time there. And I think he's well and truly put any of those doubts to bed. He's just a fantastic player. I've seen someone commented on it and said it's kind of our Stephen Dobie moment. You know, when Stephen Dobie went back to Queen of the South and was just clearly playing at a level which was below his ability. But he just went back because he loved the club. And yeah, we've got that moment here.
Yeah, no, he's absolute class. He's just an absolute class above the rest. And immediately, you know, we said it could go one way or the other, I think, on this podcast. It could be absolutely terrible or class, and it's just been...
And you said that. You said that.
Maybe I said that. But yeah, he's just been absolute class, and you can just tell the influence he has in that team, you know, and the fact that since he's joined, we've not lost a game yet. So that's...
because we signed
He's
making me feel like a 12-year-old boy again, which is just...
Are you going to get Arfield? Are you going to get Arfield in the back of your... You going to buy
I'm
a
top have to. Arfield? I think I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
See if we end up winning this league, I think there will be some adult out there. I'm not saying it's anyone on this podcast. will actually get Arfield 37 tattooed on their back. I think he's going to...
If he gets us out of this league, I will do that. Unbelievable.
Right, so this is recorded. So just just to clarify, so if we win this league, George, you're going to get Arfield 37 tattooed on your back, just to clarify.
Not on the back, no, but I might get something because he's been absolutely outstanding. I actually sent a message to Chris Toll, who does the Pint Two Shots, and had asked that question on my behalf, because obviously I used to work with the boys and had sort of said, you know, he'd said... you know, would you consider going back to Falkirk? You know, and I think actually that set the ball rolling. And I said to Chris, I messaged Chris, said, see if we get out of this league. I'm thanking you a lot, pal, because I think that you asking that question set the ball rolling in terms of getting someone's head going, oh, Scott Arfield might want to come back to Falkirk. And it put it out there into the world. So if we do go up, I'm going to have to thank Chris Toll for asking that question on my behalf. So we'll wait and see. But you know, it was a great goal. Like I say, 5 goals in 3 games, outstanding stuff. You just didn't think he might not have the legs. And you feel, I have to say, at the end of the day, I feel very sorry for Aidan Nesbitt, who's done nothing wrong at all. Absolutely nothing wrong. We know the energy that Aidan brings, but it's just obviously Scott Arfield is just a class above anything else in this league. You know, you can just tell he's like immediately the best player in this league just by the way he plays, you know, and there you go, 5 goals in 3 games.
John, as you said though, it's not a slight on anybody else in the squad who's struggling to get in the team just now.
Yeah.
It's a squad game. John McGlynn has done so well in putting this group of players together, and I'm sure every single player that is in the squad, even the Dara Connors or the Ross Monroes who are maybe no featuring, they might have to at some point because we're going to have midweek games, we're going to have a run of games. Everybody's going to play their part. And if it means that they all get a medal come May, brilliant.
Yeah. You talked about Ethan Ross earlier on and how unplayable he was. Looked back to his best, Jim.
Yeah. I think, you know, and McGlynn mentioned this in his interview afterwards, that there's never been any doubt that Ethan can go past a player and can cause defences all sorts of trouble. It's been that final finish. And maybe Arfield has been that influence where it was a very Arfield-like finish, passing it into the corner. You know, I'm thinking back to, there was a Park Thistle game where he blasted it. There was Queen's Park game where he had a couple of chances that were hit straight at the keeper. This was a fantastic finish.
It was a great one as well.
Yeah. So he was doing what he's been doing the whole season and had that final finish to top it off. So yeah, really impressive. You know, he's a fantastic player. And yeah, really excited to see if he can kick on for the rest of the season. If he keeps finishing like that, then brilliant.
And shout out to Barney Stewart in that move as well. What brilliant work to keep it in play and then slide it into Ethan Ross's path just so he could continue that run and just snake his way into the box and that beautiful finish. Barney, word on him, Ross, thought, looked again. Again, we talk about the rawness of Barney, but, you know, he is raw, but he does give defenders something to think about, doesn't he?
He does. He's a proper menace. I love him. I know I've said this for weeks and weeks. I have a funny feeling as soon as he gets, John said it as well, isn't it? As soon as he gets a goal, I'm sure he'll go on and score an absolute ton of goals for us. But he's making a huge, huge contribution just now. Just before he scored, we had a brilliant opportunity for him to score, obviously. Again, Ethan, everything we did brilliantly in that first half came through Ethan Ross and Scott Arfield, by the way. And he was very unlucky to not get a goal just before Ethan Ross scored the second one. But you're right, the part that he played, it was a lovely ball down the wing. I think it was Sean Mackey who put the ball down, and Barney A kept it in, but he then had two players on him straight away. Now, by drifting out wide, he's took those two players out with him. And then, as you said, John, that flick, nice wee flick into Ethan, and then Ethan just does what he does best.
Oh, it was great. Really, really good. And I mean, going in 2-0, I just thought, that's the Falkirk we've been missing for the last couple of months. That's the Falkirk that we saw in the first 3 or 4 months of the season, when we were just like sweeping teams aside. Morton, they were missing players, but they were a bit shell-shocked by it all, and they just could not get a foot in the game at all. But yeah, it was great to see. And then I think the second half, I mean, it wasn't anything much to write home about the second half. I think we'll all agree on that. But it was a very competent, a very professional performance from Falkirk, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you don't have to win every single game 5-0. You know, if we finish every game from now to the end of the season scoring 2 goals at half time and then just seeing the game out, I'm more than happy for
take
that to happen.
Take that.
Professional performance, no complaints. That's exactly what we should be doing. I'd rather see us finish a game out 2-0 like that than to get caught in the counter-attack and go 2-1 after 70 minutes and have a nervy finish to the game. So, no, very happy. That's exactly what we should be doing.
Had another couple of goals in that second half. It was, you're right, John, it wasn't like a classic in the second half. We were really professional. But if one team might score, and it was going to be us again, like Spencer, that free kick that the keeper just over. Miller Thompson had a brilliant strike from that corner as well, didn't he?
Just went past as well. It wasn't far away. Nicky, good to see Nicky keeping a clean sheet because we have been conceding a lot of goals, but there was some heart and mouth moments with Nicky. There was that point where the ball just bounced past, he kind of almost ran past the ball and then went, oh, because the wind obviously caught it or whatever. And there was a couple of other moments from Nicky earlier on as well. I was like, oh, Nicky. But he got through and he didn't have that much to do, Nicky. But there was a couple of heart and mouth moments from Nicky, I think.
The wind did play a part on the night. There was one in the second half, I think it was more so, where from our angle behind the goals, like the ball, he was ready to catch it, and then the wind last minute just like blew it another 6 feet.
That's the one I was talking about, because it was almost like he ran past it.
So it was tough conditions, but he, as you said, he didn't have a lot to do. They were missing a couple of strikers. Shout out though, we need to remember that as well. We were missing Hendo, we were missing Eamon Brophy, and Ross, big Ross McKeever as well. So for all they were missing players, we had a few out as well.
Second half, anything that you can pick out from the second half performance, James, it's worth highlighting, because it was a kind of like a half that almost passed me by a wee bit, just because we, like Ross said, we did have carve out a couple of chances and stuff, and obviously we rang the changes and used our bench really, really well as well. But I thought, again, it was just a comfortable, professional performance in that second half.
Yeah, all the subs came on. They did their job. Nobody had a poor game. It was exactly what we wanted to see. I think second half, we do have to give a shout out to the Morton goalkeeper, who had to go chasing after the one ball which had been had gone into the terrace, and he had to, when he's chasing the game, and he's scrambling around.
Which was their only own fault, though, Jim. I think we highlighted it on social media after the game, but for Dougie Emery to say, oh, well, they won't be playing with their fancy multi-ball system. It actually ended up costing his team quite a few occasions in that second half when they were chasing it, because they did. They were the keeper, is that's embarrassing, the keeper having to go onto the terrace to get his own ball back.
I know.
Amateur hour.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought when I read the Greenock Telegraph, if you haven't seen it on our socials, I'm going to read out what Dougie Emery had to say before the match, because, I mean, it's just fuel to the fire. Falkirk love playing in their astral grass pitch where there's not a blade of grass missing. Then they like to put their disco lights on. Tonight they don't have the luxury. The pitch is grass. It's going to be bobbly. There's only one ball and it's our ball, so they'll not enjoy coming here. We need to make it as difficult as we can. We're not here to sit down to Falkirk and allow them to come and play the nice expansive football that they like to play at their own place. It's their own home ground. They can do that. Unfortunately, they're coming to Capo, so we'll make it difficult as we can. We'll not let them enjoy the game. Our job is to go and win the game, and that's what we're aiming to do. Didn't quite work out.
So
that
literally
way.
Every single one of his predictions was bollocks. in it.
It was really it's a compliment, isn't it, to McGlynn and the team? You know, that's how they want to set up. That's how difficult they want to make things.
See that
a compliment that they managed to
see get that. Through it. That tear-stained rant, though, is just that's up there with the Martindale's rants as well. You can tell that the two of them worked closely with each other at Livingston, if you're being honest. But listen, they did well, 11 game unbeaten run, but then when they face the best team in the league, that's what happens.
You know, looking at the stats actually for the game, I mean, it's 57% Falkirk possession to Greenock's 43, 12 shots to their 2. Five shots on target to their 1. I mean, goalkeeper saves actually is the only point. We only made the keeper work once, which is obviously from the Dylan Tate shot. Nicky had 3, but I think the 3 that Nicky had were all just things that he had to pick up or were straight shots at him.
Yeah.
Really, 10 corners to their 2. So after a fairly dominant performance from Falkirk, and at no point was I worried or you know, there was no point I thought Morton are going to get back into this, because there was maybe a 5-minute spell they had where they got a wee bit of the ball, and but they didn't do anything with it, really. And there was no point I went, oh, they're... And I couldn't actually see how they'd managed to get 11 games unbeaten, you know. I mean, albeit, like you said, they're maybe missing a couple of key strikers. But, yeah, it was fairly one-way traffic. I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
No.
Nope.
Absolutely not. Let's hear what John McGlynn had to say about the performance.
John, always a difficult place to come, but you'll be delighted with that performance out there tonight.
Absolutely. I thought the first half we were very, very good. We scored 2 excellent goals. Again, Scott showed his composure in front of goal. And Nathan Ross, it's a great run. Two of the goals are very, very good goals, well taken, and I think we were well on top in the first half. We created a number of opportunities and maybe we could have been further ahead. Second half, very professional. Never gave an awful lot away. I mean, Morton have been on an amazing run, everyone knows that, 11 games unbeaten. They've been scoring 2 goals in the last 5 games. We all know that we've been conceding a couple of goals in a good few games. So it's very pleasing to get a clean sheet, very pleasing to to win 2-0. Tried to add to it in the second half, didn't quite come off, didn't quite click in the second half, but we were very professional and made sure we didn't give away anything. So, yeah, a good night's work, you know. Created a little bit more of a gap, you know, for at least 24 hours or so. We'll see how things go, but we've just got to continue to look after ourselves.
You mentioned conceding goals recently, but I think the defence tonight looked as solid as it ever has.
Yeah, no, we were delighted with the defence tonight, yeah. Morton were without a couple of strikers, got injured. But at the same time, you know, we've got a couple of strikers out as well, so yeah, but big call, Luke. Keelan and Sean Mackey defended very well, which meant that Nicky didn't have an awful lot to do. A couple of long range shots, nothing that really, you know, tested him too much, but yeah, delighted with the defensive way the whole team played, you know, the work rate of the guys up top, Big Barney, the work rate that he put in, and then the wingers put in, and then Brad Dillon and Scotty in midfield. You know, if they work so hard, then you know, the opportunity for the opposition become less and less.
Barney obviously starting the game today after coming on and doing really well, yeah. As a sub in the last game against Ayr United. Yeah. obviously doing everything right. The only thing he's missing is a goal.
Yeah, exactly. But he's doing so many things right, and he's causing defenders, you know, headaches. He's done very well to keep the ball in for one of the goals. He won headers. He worked the defenders. And yes, he just needs a, if he can get a goal, he'll take off, because there's, as I've said many times, the raw material's there. It just needs a little bit of work, a little bit of work, a little bit of fine tuning, and there's a player there.
A lot was said about the pitch here as well in the lead up to the game, but it looked like the boys didn't seem to have any bother at all with it.
No, I came here the other night there, and you could see that Morton could pass on it, you know, and I thought Morton did continue to try and do that tonight. They were, you know, well, fair play to Dougie. He's got the team, Morton team playing well and playing good football. So yeah, we've scored good goals. There's been a been passing within the goals. You know, the build has been really, really good to the goals. So yeah, I have no complaints with the pitch. It's February in Scotland. I mean, what do you expect? We're not going to get a perfect pitch, you know.
Scott Arfield amongst the goals again. That's five in his last three. He's on course for getting some amount of numbers to his name this season.
Well, long may it continue. You know, long may it continue. He's now right in behind Brad there, and you know, for top goal scorer, Brad's top goal scorer was six. No, look, if Scott continues to do that, then he'll probably end up top goal scorer. Yeah, maybe if Barney gets his finger and gets some goals as he goes by there.
So yeah, played a wee bit more than normal because he was actually quite sharp and swift, John, after the match. But having a wee dig at Barney there then as he walked by as well.
That was fun.
Good. Good to look forward to his chat on Friday evening. And it's good that he actually managed to get, you know, we're going into the Falkirk Daft Live with us talking about a win. Because I was slightly fearful if Morton beat us on Friday there, Ross, that he might not turn up next Friday. So
can I just say, when I spoke to him in the week, he had a similar comment. He was like, well, I'll feel better about the night if we win on Friday.
Yeah.
So he was of the same opinion.
Smashing. So great. Yeah, John, you'll hear from him and Paul Smith on Friday evening if you're coming along to Behind the Wall. It was, like you say, professional. We used all the words that we kind of used as well, because it was just a job well done. Up the road, 3 points, happy days.
That's it.
Let's see what you guys had to say about the match yourselves. Dougie B kicks off saying, right call to start Barney, great team, all-round performance. Saki had a good game back at left back, and drinking Emery's tears again. Scotty, man of the match again for me.
Drinking Emery's tears again. That might be the podcast title this week. I like that. Paul says, superb first half. Easier game than I thought it would be. Barney was a real handful up front, and Ethan Ross brilliant for his goal. Cool as you like. Miller, fantastic. Scotty, class again. Graham, solid old game. Tate and Spencer back on it. Second half, just a formality. Yeah. I think the only person who missed it there was Nicky.
Yeah, poor Nicky. Elsa says, first half was much more like us. Should have been up by more than two goals. Knew Morton would come back at us, but professional second half against team in great form since last played them. Queen Sheet was what we needed. Cole strode it tonight in our own hands.
Indeed. Hendo says, and it's not that Hendo, he says, outstanding performance. Donaldson, Tate and Ethan Ross coming up huge after heavy criticism from the fans. Special mention to Sean Mackey. First game since that Wraith game, and he was exceptional. Playing with a proper left back, balanced the formation, and it won us the game. Come on, yeah. You Bems.
Absolutely. Gavin, first half perfect. Second half, the biggest threat to our goal was the wind, not Morton. Another game ticked off. Backline was superb and much more balanced with a left back at left back. Onwards.
John McGlynn says, this game confirmed that Luke needs to stay at centre half. Both he and Cole strolled it, while there was a big difference in having a recognised left back. Well played, the whole team. Extremely professional throughout, and we managed the game very, very well. Onwards we go. Come on, you Burns.
Davey Brown threw up the tune. Very disappointed and didn't get through to the F-Factor final. But he says, if Arfield keeps this up, we're going to have to think about those player names in the North Stand and reduce the fonts to squeeze him in.
Surely we're saving the Scott Arfield East Stand courtesy of the Walker Supporter Society funds that will be generated there. That's my goal. That's my dream. I'll be putting that forward, Jim. Scott Arfield East
That makes the committee, we'll take that on board.
Yeah, we might need a few more contributors. Johan says, much easier game than I was expecting. We made it look very simple. Spencer and Tate in the middle were fantastic, and Donaldson at the back strolled it. Great 3 points on the road.
Lulu, easier than I thought it would be. The train keeps going.
Indeed. True Brit says, Big Barney, the new Crawford Baptie.
What a shout that is, by the way. The big Crawford. Do you know what? I can see the comparisons. Mm. Vicky Park, Tate had his best game in a while, winning balls and dictating tempo. Arfield was quietly competent. Then that lovely goal, a sublime end-to-end goal. Our wingers terrorised them. Morton didn't know where to look at half-time. The reshaped squad is finding its feet. Bring it on.
I love that name as well, Vicky Park. That has to be made up. That can't be a real name. And finally, Ada's dad said, hod that, Morton. Champions elect now. Hashtag Wayne Train.
Yes, we'll wait and see about that. It'll be interesting to see. We'll obviously preview the Hamilton game, Ross, but first of all, we've got James just now. How do you think he will, if Hendo is available for Hamilton, does he come straight back in, or does he keep that back four that played at Morton?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? It's a really difficult one. So it's rare to see McGlynn change a winning team, but Hendo has probably been our player of the year so far.
Tough one.
And I'll have to say that I actually have no idea, and I'll just be completely happy with whatever McGlynn decides to do.
It's a tough one. I think we should ask him that next Friday night, see if he answers, John.
Oh, I'll be interested. Yeah, I'll be intrigued to find out what his answer is. But I don't think he'll give it away to us, Ross, but we'll ask anyway.
No, probably not.
No,
he's earned our trust. Whatever decision McGlynn
absolutely. Right, let's go for a Falkirk Daft rated player then, Ross. Who are we thinking?
I know the BBC gave it to Scott Arfield, and I can understand why, because he didn't put a foot wrong. However, another man that didn't put a foot wrong was Cole Donaldson, so I'm going to go with Captain Cole.
Captain Cole, not had one this season. What about you, James?
That is who I was going to go with, but to make it interesting, I'll put Barney forward.
Oh, interesting. Ethan Ross. Do you know what? Ethan Ross hasn't had a Falkirk Daft rated nomination this season.
That's a surprise as well.
That's a call. But you know, I think with the criticism he was getting kind of left at his door, which I thought was a bit unjust, if I'm honest with you. I'm going to go with you, Ross. I thought Cole Donaldson was excellent. I thought he came up, dictated the play, took Luke along with him, and I thought it was an outstanding centre half performance from Cole. So I'm going to go give it to Cole as well. Though I think Ethan Ross can. Well, do I have to get Ethan Ross on this Falkirk Daft rated board at some point? Because we'll definitely have to do that. What about your Dafty?
I'm going to go with Dougie Emery's tear-stained pre-match rant and then his post-match pishy-stained trousers that he was wearing as well.
James?
I wasn't on the Elliot's bus on Friday night, obviously. So me and the missus take it turnabout, so she was on the bus. There is someone on the bus who I won't name, but they will know that they deserve to be the Falkirk Daftie, from what I've heard, has came back. So I think their views on a certain player. So
you have to tell us now, Jim.
You can't lead us to this path, Jim.
I can't, but they will. They'll know if they're listening. They'll know who it is. So the Falkirk Daftie goes to this individual on the Elliot's bus.
What was the player? Just out of curiosity.
Brad Spencer was the player.
All right. Okay, we might know who it is then. Dougie, I'm going to go for Dougie Emery as well, because he's already been nominated this season, so let's give him the second one for Falkirk Daftie of the week. Is it Dougie Emery? Well done, Dougie. Spot on. So that is the Morton game done. But Jim, you've been on this podcast before. It was a couple of years back. But since then, we have brought in Falkirk Daft versus, and it is you up against Ross Wayne, if you're up for the challenge, Jim.
I'm up for it. I've actually completely forgotten that this was a thing, but yeah, I'm up for it. Let's go for it.
Fantastic. Five questions on the Bairns in a penalty shootout style. You just got to give me the answers. Ross is going to write his down. You're going to give me yours once he's written it down, James. So yeah, it's relatively easy, and I believe I lost last week, so this is the chance to Falkirk Daft to get. We need to bounce back from a loss, Ross. So yeah. No pressure. Right, okay then. Right, so we're going to go with question number one then, if you're ready to go. Ross, you got pen and paper?
I do, mate. All sorted.
Okay, question number one. Who sponsored the top when we played in the 97 Cup final? Who was the front of top sponsor at the 97 Cup final?
Am I ready? Can I answer now?
Wait till Ross has written something down.
Okay, I'm written.
Right, okay. James, who are you going for?
I'm going for Beezer Homes.
Ross, have you written down?
I went for Square Deal Motors.
Square Deal Motors is the correct answer. Because they released the special blue top, didn't they, for the 97? It was like next season's top, and they had Square Deal Motors on it. Right, okay then. Question number two. How many times have Falkirk won the Challenge Cup? B&Q Cup, Iron Brew Cup, Petrofac Cup, whatever you want to call it, how many times have they won the Trust Trophy?
I think we're the equal record holders. I think it's four.
You're right, four, Ross. What have you written down?
I've written four as well.
Both correct. 2-1, Ross. Next question up. Who is Falkirk's current number 25? Who is Falkirk's current number 25?
That feels like it should be an easy one.
Oh wait, don't shout out.
Don't shout your answer till Russ has written down something.
Feels like it's a young lad, but I don't know. 25.
Russ is writing something down.
I'll write something down. I think it's wrong, but I'll write it down. Okay, I've got some.
Right, James, go for it.
I think Brophy might have taken it.
You're saying Brophy. Ross, what have you written down?
Brophy could be it. I was guessing I put Macrone.
2-2, it is Eamon Brophy, the lesser spotted Eamon Brophy.
He's hardly wore it, so that's why.
exactly. That's why I thought I'd put it in. There's like no one's spotted him in it.
He's just a bit Loch Ness Monster.
So 2-2, here we go then. Question number four. Which ex-Bairn won the PFA Player of the Year in 2012-2013 in the Scottish Premiership? Which ex-Bairn won PFA Player of the Year in 2012-2013 in the Scottish Premiership?
So they had left, because we were in the Championship, so they've left Falkirk by this point and they're starring in the Premier League.
Well, you can explain the answer that way if you want, Ross.
Okay. And just to, so was they got Player of the Year?
Yep.
I think I might have it. Oh, I should have said that because it won't be right now that I've
tempting fate here, James. Right, you're writing something down, Ross.
I've written it down, but right.
Stick it up.
Okay.
What have you got?
Michael Higden scored a barrel load from Motherwell around about that time, so I'm going to go for Higden.
Michael Higden, what have you written down, Ross?
I've went for the Don as well.
Both correct. So it goes 3-3, which means it's down to the last question, and I think he's a both get this one, actually, so I think it could be heading to a tie break. Right, so the final question is, who was the last Falkirk player to play for Hamilton? Who was the last Falkirk player to play for Hamilton?
Okay.
As in former Falkirk player.
Now at Hamilton.
No. The last Falkirk player to play for Hamilton. So the current squad, who was the last player to play for Hamilton?
Of our current squad. Right, yeah. Sorry. Right, okay.
Ross, you've written something down.
I have. I was struggling, but it just came to me.
Yeah.
Jim, you got an answer?
I almost feel like this is a trick question. Dylan Tate.
Dylan Tate, Ross, have you written down?
I went for Dylan Tate as well.
Both correct. Wow, it goes to a tie break. A tie break. Right, okay.
I said this in the last one, but I never got a Falkirk Daft ticket. So if I win this tie break, does that mean I get a Falkirk Daft ticket for Friday night? Is that the prize?
Yeah. Do you know what? You'll have to speak to Ross, because it's if you're going to beat me, you'll have to speak to Ross at that one. Jim, right.
It's a tough one, because if he beats me, I'll be pissed off. Right, Jim, if you beat me, we'll sneak in the back door. All right.
Okay, let's see.
Right, okay then. This is the question. It's called the transfer market, right? So I don't want to shout you that. What is the average age of our squad? What is the average age of our squad? Right, if you write something down, Ross, and then I'll get Jim to give me an answer. Okay.
Is it the closest wins?
Yeah, that's how these things work, Ross.
Okay, right. So I'm thinking, don't have too many older players, a few young boys. I'll say, how many decimal points do you want?
Well, whatever decimal points you want to give me to Jim.
25.4.
25.4. Ross, what are you going for?
I went for 23.
Well, we'll see you on Friday night at Behind the Wall then, Jim, because it's 25.9.
He's an
there
asset.
We go.
He's an asset.
25.9. There you go. Well done, Jim.
So it would have been 25.4 before Scott Arfield signed.
That was probably before Scott Arfield signed. It would have been 25.4, but spot on, mate. Well done. Well done.
You just know I'm going to be going checking all the dates of birth of the squad as soon as we're done this.
Yeah, that's it.
I did. I'd say according to transfer mark. So there you go. Well done, Jim. Spot on. Well done, you beat Ross, which means two defeats in a row for Falkirk Daft. We're falling to pieces here. Brilliant, Jim, thanks so much for coming on the podcast as ever, and thanks for letting us know about Project 1876. If you're not a member of the Falkirk Support Society, why not get involved, sign up, contribute towards the club if you can, and you know, like you say, Jim, can dictate where the money is going to go to help the club as well, which is brilliant news going forward. So, Jim, thanks so much for coming on. We'll see you on Friday night.
Thanks for having me. See you then.
Smashing. All right, brilliant. If you want to be a guest pundit, listen like Jim, get in touch, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local. Eat and drink global.
Right, before we speak about Hamilton, let's talk to you about Behind the Wall. We'll be there on Friday night, as we've said. Falkirk Daft Venom, I'm pretty sure we'll be getting sold lots of those. I hope the bar staff are ready. Just have them all pre-made, because I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be drinking Venoms on Friday night at Falkirk Daft Live 3. And if you don't remember, there's lots of fine wines, lagers, crafts and cask ales at Behind the Wall, and it should be some night in there. And obviously, the buses to the home games. Ross was on it on Friday night, and it's such a great deal. £5 for the home games, and then you get your transfer back to the pub and a pint in the bar afterwards. And you get away games as well, all £10. Get your names down for that, aside from Ayr and Greenock, which is £12.50, and the same drink offer applies for that as well. Tickets now on sale for the Ackies away, which is leaving the pub at 1:30, and Airdrie on the Tuesday night as well, which leaves the pub at 6:30. So get involved with those buses, get your names into Scotty, and also obviously Dunfermline is coming, it's on the horizon. There's a second bus now being added for that game, so that's on the 8th of March. So if you want to get involved, get your name to Scotty at the bar, phone up the pub, get your name down, because they'll go really, really, really quickly, because it's such a great offer that Behind the Wall do. So get involved with the buses and get down there. And this Friday, actually, if you want to head down for a bite to eat, there's a special Falkirk Daft burger with chilli and cheese, which is on offer. I will be having that pre-show on Friday night. And there's also a cheeseburger and pepperoni pizza with a Falkirk Daft Venom for £20. So there you go.
Bargain.
What
bargain.
A great deal. You get a Venom and you get a pepperoni pizza for £20. So if you are wanting to book a table before Falkirk, if you come down to Falkirk Daft Live, book yourself a table. Me and Ross will be having a bite there before the show as well. Like I say, and it is 7 o'clock, doors, 7:30, 7:45, we'll be on stage for the show. So get down there, like I say, book yourself a table before it, get a bite to eat, enjoy your Friday night, get a few Venoms and that brilliant offer with pepperoni pizza or a cheese burger pizza with a Falkirk Daft Venom for £20. What a great offer. So I get your name down and all the details you'll find at behindthewall.co.uk. Obviously, after Falkirk Daft Live, we've got the small matter of another football match as we go away to Hamilton. Ross, I won't be there, will you?
I'm not sure yet. I've got a busy weekend this weekend, obviously kicking off with Behind the Wall on Friday night. So it might be one I am having to rely on Falkirk TV. I will be at the Airdrie game a week on Tuesday, though. I've still got my ticket from the original game with that one. Not about that one. But Aki's, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, Aki's, they're a basket case at a club. They always have been Aki's. Second bottom at the moment, tied on points with Dunfermline. I can't believe how much Dunfermline are still down there, just getting drawn into that. There's been obviously protests against John Rankin. They've brought in a hell of a lot of players over this season. Yeah. 19, I think, in total, Ross.
Huge turnover. They released some, not as many as that. I read on Pine Bovril, they've got something like a squad of 31. How they manage that on crowds of 500-600 home fans, I assume a chunk of them are season ticket holders as well, so their money was in the bank last July. Huge squad that they've got there. They can only play 11, just like us, as we know, so you just wonder if it's a happy squad there. And they are right in the midst of a relegation playoff battle with Dunfermline, as you said, and that they play each other on Tuesday night before we play Aki's as well.
I know, Ed, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I saw a stat from a Dunfermline game yesterday, and I don't know how true this stat was, but it basically mapped out that in yesterday's 0-0 with Queen's Park, there was zero goal attempts, zero shots on goal, zero shots off goal, one corner kick per team, zero goalkeeper saves, and one yellow card.
That's a belter then, that's what you're saying.
That can't be right, surely. That must be a misprint of the what I was looking at, because that cannot be right.
I think we need to watch either the Queen's Park or Dunfermline highlights of that game just to see how long the highlights actually are.
I know, because that is ridiculous. But yeah, Hamilton are right down there. I mean, like you say, it's not a happy camp at the moment over at Aki's. It doesn't seem to be at all. All sorts of rumours I've heard swirling around about money problems. I'm just wondering if Hamilton, you know, like you say, that can't be sustainable. You know, 31 no. squad players and the crowds they get, you know, they've got a very small crowd base at Hamilton, you know, and to be down there, second bottom at the moment, will be interesting. We've had a really good time of it over Hamilton over the last couple of years. But what are you thinking for Saturday, Ross?
I think if we continue as we did from Greenock, I think this will be a comfortable win. I'm gonna see a similar scoreline as well. I'm gonna go 2-0 Falkirk. What are you thinking?
Well, obviously, there are a couple of ex-Bairns in there. I've got Tony Gallagher just joined them there as well. I mean, Kevin O'Hara, we all know. I don't know if he's been getting his game, because they've obviously got Ollie Shaw, who's been getting a lot of goals for them. But you just look... Yeah.
Charlie Telfer has just signed as well, hasn't
Charlie
he?
Charlie Telfer just signed for them as well, which is mental. But yeah, it's just... There's constant 100 of players on their books. It's they've got Nikolai Todorov as well. I forgot he's there. In fact, did he go out on loan somewhere else? I think maybe, I don't know, but
No, I thought he was still there, but you might be right.
Yeah, the one big miss they've got is Scott Martin leaving the club to Thistle as well, but Scott Robinson then came the other way as well. So, we seem to have a wee bit of a light over them. So I'm really hoping we continue that on Saturday. And I think I'll go for a similar scoreline. I think a 2-0, especially the way we picked up at Morton, I think 2-0 to the Bairns. I don't think Hamilton will be able to live with us. But who knows? Who knows? It's a funny old game. And like you say, they're second bottom. You should, on paper, you know, you should be going winning there comfortably. But Hamilton are just, like I say, an absolute basket case of a club. So for them to turn around and maybe beat us, that... You always have that at the back of your head, but we will wait and find out what happens come Saturday. And I'm going to choke you now. But yes, sorry about that. Hamilton away on Saturday. Chance then, we'll see what happens with Livingston. Like we said, they've got two big games this week. They could be top come before we kick off on Saturday. Fingers crossed that's not the case. But yeah, it's just every game, it's just getting tighter and tighter, and just another one ticked off. So fingers crossed for Saturday and a win against the Ackies.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. We got through there and then. We've had some technical issues. I'm not feeling great. But before we go, I've got to say thank you very much to the Falkirk football fans in training. As ever, the Lava Cup is coming soon. It's not far away now. We'll get all the details here of what's going to happen on the day when we get it from the boys. But remember, if you want to join and be involved in the Lava Cup, you get involved at Stadium every Monday, 8 till 9, Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30, with the TA, supporting each other and making memories through football. And they've got the Super Vets football, which happens on a Friday, and that's collaboration with the Falkirk Foundation Walking Football Squad. So get down to the stadium Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. for the Super Vets football. So if you're not up for the kind of Tuesday and Monday games, this is probably a better pace. If you're a wee bit older, it's over 50s only, 8 asides, but 0.5 asides rules. So that happens at the stadium every Friday, 5 to 6. Get the names into Ian, Willie or Doogie. All the links are below to get in touch with the guys. And like I always say, they're a great bunch of boys. And we'll see them all for a Venom on Friday evening at Behind the Wall, which where we'll see you next. But before we go, I have to say the Enoch Shawomne Roll of Honour is here. And Ross, before I cough my brains out, you can run through it.
I will do, because we had a massive response to the Shawomne Roll of Honour. So shout out to Gavin, Craig, John, Joe, Elsa, Grant, Del, Paul, Lulu, James, Kenny, Phil, Dave, Brian, Kevin Pepper, aka Salty. We got the answer to that one.
Is that the one that was Oakley was having the dig at?
That's the one who Oakley was having a go at. Yeah.
Now apparently he's mates with Oakley. I think from the backstory is that he was mates with Oakley. And he's a Falkirk supporter.
That's it. So we now know Salty's real name is Kevin Pepper. There we go.
Yeah.
Kevin, shout out to Kevin. Bonnie, Linda, Eddie, Laura, Archie, and finally Andrew.
There you go. Thank you very much for getting on to the Enoch Show, the Roll of Honour. Who are we going for next week, Ross?
Well, there's a name I've got in my head. This came up on Friday night in conversation. He's a blast from the past. His name is Craig Taggart.
Craig Taggart, wow. That is a right back. He couldn't have played many games for Falkirk, Craig Taggart.
He was with the club for about 3 or 4 years. So let's do a quick Google. He was. Let's check to see if Better Meadow has got... Yeah, so... No, he's not played a huge amount. And it was the Premier League years to a degree. He only played... started 15 games, another 21 sub appearances in those 4 years, but it was our Premier League and top of the First Division days, so it was a tough squad to get into. But yeah, Craig Taggart is our player this week.
There you go. So get your names in. Or just if you come along behind the wall on Friday, just come up and whisper to me, Ross, Craig Dagger. There you go. But we'll see you all down here. Really looking forward to seeing you all behind the wall on Friday. It should be a good laugh. The last two have been wild. I fully suspect more of the same. I think my youngest or my eldest is coming on Friday along with my wife as well, which will make it even more embarrassing for me. So, but looking forward to Behind the Wall this Friday evening. We'll see you down there. And if you aren't coming, we'll see you on the next podcast where we look back at the Hamilton game and look ahead to Airdrie, and that'll be next weekend. So thank you very much for listening or watching Falkirk Daft. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you get. You can see the YouTube version if you're listening to it, and vice versa if you are watching this and you want to hear it in the car. We are on all major podcast platforms. Buy your merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and if you want to get a Falkirk Daft t-shirt from Gordon at Pints and Prints, we've got our own collection there, pintsandprints.co.uk. You can get some Falkirk Daft merch up there. Hopefully we'll see a few of you wearing some Falkirk Daft t-shirts come Friday, which we will see you all down there behind the wall for what should be a mental night. So looking forward to that. And if we don't see you then, we will see you on the next one. But until next time,
expect unexpected, buddy. And we'll see everybody next week.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.